This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The head of the Coca-Cola Company was at the Clinton Global Initiative in New York this week, talking about partnerships with, among others, Dean Kamen, the prolific inventor who brought us the Segway scooter. Kamen's got a nifty appliance that uses compressed vapor to turn bad water into good drinking water without using much energy. Coke wants to use it to get free water to 500,000 people in poor parts of the world. Here to talk about this and other matters is Coca-Cola's CEO, Muhtar Kent. Mr. Kent, welcome.
Good to be here.
I want to understand this pledge. By 2020, if you sell a liter of Coke, you'll be sure that somewhere, somebody gets a liter of good water?
We are one of the biggest users of water in the world, and we have made this very bold and big commitment that we would, through reduction, using new technology in our factories, through recycling programs before we give the water back to municipalities where we operate, and finally, through replenishment, creating new water that didn't exist in the
world.
Creating
new water. Now, if you just trucked or flew the fresh water in, that's going to burn even more fossil fuel, and you'll get demerits for further contributing to climate change. But this is actually turning what could be not good water into drinkable stuff.
We've created this new technology where that unit, the slingshot unit, when deployed, will create 850 liters of fresh vaccine-grade, sterile drinking water from basically any water, no matter how contaminated. Why are we doing all this? Because when there's healthy communities, we have a healthy, sustainable business.
Now, you just offered your explanation for why you're doing it. I also wanted to ask you, did this project also come about because of criticism by activists who've accused the company of using too much precious water over the years or sometimes contaminating good water?
Actually, when all the information about that came out 4 or 5 years ago, there was an instance in India where we were criticized in a certain province of India when actually admired, respected Indian NGOs put a report out. And based on that report, they didn't find us guilty of in any way or form of using water or depleting waterbeds. So this did not come or emerge out of any criticism. This emerged out of a belief that a commitment that we made about water neutrality has to be achieved. And secondly, we don't feel like a company that does business in 207 countries around the world cannot just sit back and watch 3.5 million people die every year because they lack access to clean drinking water. That's why we did this.
Let me ask you about another criticism, though, of Coca-Cola connected to water. I think it's an interesting one. I'd like to get your thoughts about it. Has Coca-Cola contributed to a shift away from the notion of water as a free, universal human right and moved people toward the idea of buying water as a commodity in a bottle?
I think it's a huge service. And so we can't take the blame for why there is a lack of availability for clean drinking water across a geography where 5 billion people live. And so we ensure that our products are safe, are manufactured with the highest standards. We offer them at the best possible competitive prices. And if there's a choice between tap water and bottled water, the consumer can make that choice. In a very large geography in the world, that choice does not exist. And therefore, we are actually providing a wonderful, huge service.
Now, there's that unit that makes drinking water to distribute for free. And at the Clinton Global Initiative meeting, Muhtar Kent was also talking about something else that looks a lot like one of the innovations that's typically devised by startup social entrepreneurs. Coke, along with smaller partners, is taking metal shipping containers of the sort you see down at the port and turning them into stations for free drinking water, internet, and charging up phones in poor parts of the world. To do what exactly?
Put them in the most distant villages where there's no power, where there's no fresh drinking water, work on solar power, on biomass, and then ensure that we can actually train a mentor and provide microcredit to a woman entrepreneur and that she can hire also additional woman co-workers to help her run that.
What's your thinking about female entrepreneurs? Why that focus?
Well, because we have another major global commitment that we would provide economic empowerment by 2020 to 5 million women outside of the four walls of the Coca-Cola system. Now, that's a big number, 5 million. When you think around the world today, there's about 100 million unemployed in the category of youth. When you think that every year, just to stay at 100 million unemployed youth, we have to create another 150 million or so new jobs, because that's the number that's coming into the employment pool. So when you think of those numbers, 140 million new jobs needed to be created, 5 million actually is a pretty big number for one company, one system that has put its hand underneath the stone and said, we are going to do something about it.
So I'm hearing here attempts to make the world a better place through bringing safer drinking water in some cases, through lowering unemployment. But, Mr. Kent, you do make products that can make people fat, and fat is linked to diabetes. How do you wrestle with this? You're trying to fix a public health problem on one hand, yet your product can be an important part of a public health problem.
The way we see that is, we used to be a one-product company. Now we have 500 brands, 3,000 products. We have provided tremendous amount of choice to people.
So you're saying if a consumer cares, there are things that have...
We have products with calories. We have products without calories. We have products that have bubbles in them. It is about choice. There's nothing wrong with having a beverage that has calories as well as having food with calories. The most important thing in the world is we have to raise the awareness of energy balance, calories in and calories out. The way it can be solved is if we partner and together raise the awareness for the need for more energy balance thinking, less sedentary lifestyle.
Less sedentary lifestyle. But you want to be clear for our listeners. Are you saying that don't worry about the high-calorie drinks that we sell? The problem is you need more exercise.
We're not saying that. We're saying that we have the choice. If we didn't offer that choice, I think we wouldn't have done what is needed. But once we have that choice, then it's up to the consumers who have to decide how they want to consume which beverages, when, and how they want to live their lives.
Why not just do what worked for cigarettes, put an extra tax on sugary drinks? Price goes up, people opt for cheaper, healthier drinks.
Taxes has never, never, ever solved any of these issues. What we feel is that you can't just tax apple pie, you can't just tax snacks. If people continue their same method of living and continue to consume calories, obesity is going to continue.
Before we go, I want to understand a cornerstone of your company's management philosophy. I was reading that you want your folks to be, quote, constructively discontent. What does that mean, and why would you want them to be constructively unhappy with the way things are?
What we're saying is, look, in the last 3, 4, 5 years, we have continually grown our business in one of the most difficult macroeconomic environments the world has faced since the last Great Depression. In an environment where you do well, you can get arrogant very quickly. And so what we're saying is, whilst we may be doing well, let's not be happy. Let's not celebrate. Being humble is the best way forward.
Muhtar Kent, CEO and Chairman of the Coca-Cola Company, thank you very much.
Thank you.